You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, Samantha McLean from Elite Agent Magazine. This week on the Weekly Wrap, the countdown to ARIC 2018 is well and truly on. It's just 4 weeks away, and my guest today is the founder of both ARIC and McGrath Estate Agents, John McGrath. In this podcast, we go back to the beginnings of ARIC 21 years ago, what John believes you need to do to get the most out of ARIC or any conference to transform your career. We also talk about why now is the best time ever to be in real estate and why one of the best things you can do in your career is to start believing that anything is possible. So welcome, John McGrath.
Thanks, Sam. Good to be here.
Thanks for joining us on the podcast this week. We're honoured to have you here, and ARIC is just around the corner. I think 21 years this year.
It is, yeah. Well, it's weeks away. It's now, but 21 years. It's funny because when it started, it's an interesting story, and a few people know it because I've occasionally told it at ARIC, but I used to go across every few months to America, and I was very fortunate that I was invited into an elite group of the top 10 agents in America by a guy called Dr. Fred, who was one of my life coaches. So they used to meet, and you know, Bob Boland, Bob Wolf, Lillian Montalfo, these were people that were the best in America. Anyway, one day I said to Fred, geez, I'm loving this so much, I just wish my people could be here. And back in those days, you didn't have the technological ability to kind of capture stuff like we're doing today.
Yeah.
You either had to be in the room or you missed out.
Yeah.
And he said, well, why don't you invite them all to Australia? And I said, oh, you know, that'd be a dream, but that'd never happen. Anyway, they came back from the morning tea break and Fred said, well, John has something to ask everyone. And I kind of went red-faced and I said, oh, you know, I sort of giggled. I didn't think he was serious. And he said, okay, well, I'll ask for it. Who'd like to go to Australia and do a conference? We'll create a conference. All 10 hands went up. I thought, shit, this is kind of like interesting, exciting. But, and I was flattered. And then I came back and we set a date. And then I worked out the cost of two business class airfares, accommodation, whatever, whatever. Because initially I was thinking, it only became ARIC after the event, I was thinking it'd just be for my own company. I'd get the top people. I didn't bring all 10 of them out. I think I brought four or five of them out. So as it happened, I looked at the bill and I thought, this is going to cost me a fortune, if not send me broke. So what I did is I started ringing around some of my buddies that had real estate companies, mainly in and around the area, Paddington. I said, look, I'm bringing some speakers out. Do you want to come along and help and we'll share the costs? And they did it. So basically the first ARIC was kind of a smallish group. We ended up with a couple hundred people at the end of the day. And now we'll have close to 5,000 people in a few weeks' time on the Gold Coast. So it's funny how little things happen. And even, you know, like this great podcast, Sam, I'm sure you got it just in a minute of inspiration. And I was the same. I was thinking, I went for a walk one morning early and I was thinking, you know, I used to listen to podcasts every day and I thought, should do a podcast. So I rang Tom Panos while I was on the walk and it was like literally 5:45 because I know he's in that crazy 5 a.m. club and he goes to the gym. Yeah. And I said, Tommy, we should do a podcast. And he said, what's that? And I said, you know, we just talk to each other and we talk about stuff and we put it out there. And he said, yeah, sounds like a good idea. So a few days later, we did our first one. So like the podcast and ARIC, the number of times something that ends up being meaningful in your life just starts with an interesting idea that you execute. So the moral of the story for all of your listeners is, you know, how many good ideas have you had? And it doesn't have to be a podcast or a real estate event. It could just be something you could do in your listing, in your prospecting. It could be an event that you hold and you for your community, and just do it.
So imperfect action.
Correct.
Is better than no action.
Correct.
How did it feel for you back in 1997 when you walked out onto the stage that was to become ARIC for the first time?
I guess sort of, a lot of people get nervous nowadays because it's a big audience and it's the second biggest conference in the world. Back then, it was kind of quite intimate and I'd done a lot of auctioneering, Sam, and probably a reasonable bit of speaking. You know, I used to do a few speeches for the Real Estate Institute and stuff. So it probably wasn't overly intimidating. I still get nervous today when I do a speech. So I think nerves are quite good. They kind of put you on edge, which hopefully makes you deliver the best performance. At that point, it didn't feel like any daunting experience. It felt like an exciting event. But nowadays, and hopefully some of your listeners will end up speaking on stage at ARIC, you have to prepare people because when you stand up and there's 4,000 to 5,000 people, it's kind of a big group, and there are people that can freak out doing it. But I think it's like anything in life. As I mentioned to you recently in a session we did with your Transform group, I'm by nature a fairly shy person and always have been. Not good or bad, it's just my personality is not one of these extrovert kind of outgoing. I kind of a bit more introvert. And when I decided to get into real estate sales, and I was about 19 when I decided to get in and 20 when I started, I figured that I had to overcome my hesitancy in communicating, either one-on-one or to a group. So I booked in and did a little Toastmasters course, which is for 8 weeks, one night a week, and it cost next to nothing, and they gave you a manual and you turned up for 3 or 4 hours once a week, just in at the AMP building in Bridge Street. And I'm telling this story because some people assume that either good auctioneers, good salespeople, good speakers kind of were born that way. Certainly for me, not that I'm saying I'm good, but at least I'm comfortable in the environment.
We did dig up that 1999 video of you winning the Australian Auctioneers Championships, and I must admit I watched it and got goosebumps. It was so good.
So that was 99.
Yeah.
So that was 20 years ago. So I'd probably been in real estate then by about 15 years because I started when I was 20. I started in real estate at 18. So I get back to the Toastmasters thing, and nowadays it's much easier than ever before. Nowadays you could probably just go on the YouTube and find any number of online courses and places where you could go to learn. So there is no excuse for anyone that's not at a, call it an expert level at whatever they want to do. And this is a real estate audience, so let's talk real estate. If you are not a 9 out of 10 lister, a 9 out of 10 negotiator, a 9 out of 10 seller, it's not because you can't be, it's because you haven't put in the work. You have to put in the work. So I used to go to conferences, events, and I'd listen to cassettes in those days and then subsequently CDs and stuff. But I remember going to Tom Hopkins at University of New South Wales, sitting in the front row, and I was so excited. And it was called Mastering the Art of Selling Real Estate. And at the end of it, you know, he said, and there's a conference table out the back if you want tapes. And I raced out and I maxed out my little credit card and I spent, in those days, a few hundred dollars, which was probably my life saving, but it was like I was so excited because I want to keep hearing the stuff and keep practicing the dialogue. So I think nowadays, you know, you don't even have to pay money. You can pay it and you can get a coach and you come to ARIC and you do all sorts of things, but you can also get to a high degree of proficiency just by learning through things like YouTube. So no excuse.
So walk me through some of the speakers that you've got on the program this year and what you're aiming for them to bring to the table.
Well, look, every year our commitment to the industry, because so many people come back to ARIC, about 50-60% of the audience came last year and most of them came in the last 2 years, many of them came in the last 2 years. So to do that, if you're going to keep getting on a plane and coming back and spending $1,000 for a ticket, we're committed to giving you a better experience than ever before. So that's not hard. At ARIC number 6, at ARIC 21, it gets harder because every year, as soon as ARIC finishes, we sit down and we start planning the themes for the next year.
It's the Super Bowl of real estate, I think. It is Super Bowl weekend. We spend ages ourselves preparing for it.
So. And Sam, I think it's the best. Like NAR is the biggest event. They get 20,000 agents and they have hundreds of speakers, but you don't get the concentration. We just wanted the best, and we have 32 speakers. I mean, Tommy Panos, number one, is there for the whole 2 days. Kind of, he's the facilitator, and there's none better than Tom in Australia, which is great. Tom Ferry, I think, is unarguably the world's best real estate coach and speaker at the moment, and he has spoken at ARIC before. We brought him back because we think 21st year.
He's a fan favourite.
Phenomenal. Some of the best feedback we've ever got about speakers. So he'll be phenomenal, and anyone that's serious about the industry that doesn't take time to listen to Tom is crazy. We've got a few speakers that I think will be rating up there at the 9 out of 10 level that people have probably never heard. It's a guy called Peter Sheehan, who, funny enough, is an Aussie expat. He's a youngish guy. I think he might be, call it late 30s, maybe he's 40. He's been living in America now for probably most of our adult life, probably for 12, 13 years. He's probably the hottest speaker in America at the moment, and yet most Australians had never heard of him. But in America, everyone says, wow, Pete Sheehan's at your conference.
Actually, I read his book Flip many years ago.
Right.
Fast, Good and Cheap, Pick 2, but now it's not just Fast, Good and Cheap, Pick 2, it's actually Fast, Good and Cheap and The X Factor, and I think it's as relevant today as it was back then. So I'm really looking forward to him.
He's phenomenal. There's a guy called Peter Fuda that I've known for many years. He coaches a lot of the best business people around the world. He is phenomenal. He's got like a master's degree on leadership and success, and I just said to Pete Fuda, I said, you got a lot of people in the room, most of them aren't business owners, some are, but I said they're sales agents, but they kind of need to be treated like business owners. And they all want to do better, but they're either not sure how or they're fearful of the gap between here and there. And so he's going to craft his business around, you know, how do you jump through those hoops to get to the other side? And he's done personally. Of course, we've got some of the greatest real estate speakers in this country. Gavin Rubenstein's going to be speaking there. You know, some of them are multi-million dollar agents, but we're also recognising that most people in the room are not doing multi-million dollars. They're doing $100,000, $200,000, $300,000. So we've got a lot of small homegrown stories of people around Australia that, just like the audience and just like your listeners, started with real estate, they struggled to get momentum, they got a little bit of momentum, and then now they're building their business quite rapidly. So there's going to be a lot for everyone.
I'm intrigued about this auction competition that's on the program. What's happening with that?
So, you know, again, want to make the best conference every year, want to mix it up, what can we do? So we thought, well, auctioning is now such a big part of everyone's business. 90% of the ARIC audience are auction orientated, or at least do auctions from time to time. So we spoke about, why don't we get the best auctioneers in Australia and New Zealand? And by the best, we picked people who had won the Australasian Auctioneering Championships, uh-huh. which is really the holy grail.
Yeah.
And we picked what we thought were the best two Kiwis and the best two Aussies. And we thought a bit of a state of origin there, which is good.
Yeah.
A bit of competitiveness.
Bledisloe Cup.
Yeah, Bledisloe Cup. Yeah, that's a better analogy. And we thought, okay, there's four breaks, two morning teas and more lunches. At each one in the Trade Expo, we're going to have an auction which will last for about 15 minutes. And we'll have professional judges and professional bidders, and they'll score. And because not everyone can get to the Real Estate Auctioneering Championships. In fact, most of the people that go are the auctioneers. But this will expose everyone to world-class auctioneering. And this is not just the best in Australia and New Zealand. I think Australasian auctioneers are the best in the world, because there's nowhere else in the world that does auctions like we do.
Well, yeah.
So I think that's going to be an exciting part of it. And it's amazing the amount of excitement that competition has generated.
Yeah.
We thought it'll be an interesting aside and people will get some great tips on being a better auctioneer. But a lot of people are just saying can't wait for it, so that'll be good.
I know. I think it's just presenting yourself too. I mean, we did a bit of a national special with some auctioneers recently, and what was phenomenal about those guys, it was just like they say in Hollywood, one and done. Like, they were just such good presenters that when we did these video grabs with them. So I would say to anyone that happens to be listening to do an auctioneering course, because it'll just improve your public speaking skills. So
brilliant. I agree with that. And in addition to the Toastmasters, I started auction when I was 19, and there's no doubt if you can stand up and do an auction a week or 10 auctions a week, your ability to connect and get comfortable presenting in a listing situation goes up exponentially.
Yeah, absolutely. So at ARIC, we learn so much. I mean, this is my 10th ARIC, I think, which is giving away my age a little bit too.
You started just out of school. So
not quite, but there's so much information. I mean, every year we walk away with so much information, and we're going to be there with the studio crew and everything, doing heaps of interviews and things like that. Like, so much comes out of ARIC. What advice do you give people for implementing what they learn?
Yeah, it's a really good point, because it's all about execution. You can sit in there and you can take 10 pages of notes and it's all gold. It's what are you going to implement? So what I suggest is, let it all wash over you. Just go there and sit in every session and take notes and do everything you need and ask questions and go to all those sort of things. At the end of it, though, before you go back to work, pour through your notes and work out, if there was only five things I could do off the back of this event, which would be the best five? Now, that's hard for enthusiastic salespeople to say, but I got 10 pages of great notes. Just pick five and implement them. You can always come back and do another five next week or next month. But that forces you to work out, when you kind of curate the number that you're laying, it forces you to work out what is going to give you the biggest payoff. Like someone said to me the other day, you know, if you could only work 3 hours a day in your job, what would be the tasks you do in those 3 hours that would add most value? Which is really good, because it gets you thinking, well, okay, if I couldn't do everything, if I only had 3 hours, what would I do? So it's the same here. If you could only do five things you learned from ARIC, what would the five be? That will be enough to transform your life. And then if you want to go back and do more later.
Okay, so we're going to switch now, because you've had so many incredible speakers at ARIC in the past, and one of them that I've really enjoyed has been Tim Ferriss, the author of The 4-Hour Workweek,
Brilliant.
Tribe of Mentors, those
spoke
sorts
of...
Spoke a few years ago, did two incredible sessions, and I was actually just watching him again the other day, and I thought it would be really cool for our audience if we could ask you those same questions that Tim always asks.
In his Tribe of Mentors.
In his Tribe of Mentors.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Fire away.
Here we go.
I won't be as articulate as him, but I'll do it.
All right. So, John, you're a mentor to many. Do you have a mentor or someone that inspires you?
The greatest impact on my life, and interestingly enough, he's speaking at ARIC this year, has been Dr. Fred. Dr. Fred Gross. If you're not coming to ARIC and you're listening here, Google him. And if he's doing an event or a course, because he does Australia, New Zealand predominantly, that's where he works most of his life. Sit in a classroom with him. He's 80 years of age. And he has more wisdom in his mind and in every cell of his body than anyone I've ever come across. And if you're coming to ARIC, go and meet him. Don't just listen to him. Meet him in the break, because he'll be there with his wife for the 2 days, and meet them and talk them and find out if you can get into a doctor. They call them Dr. Fred groups, because that will change your life. So I would say, you know, in addition to that, I'm like you, Sam. I just can't help myself keep reading. I listen to blogs and podcasts and everything. So I just... I love learning and I love ideas. So, you know, after Dr. Fred, there's 100 people I listen to all the time, one of them being Tim Ferriss too, by the way.
What new belief, behaviour or habit have you adopted, say, within the last 10 years that has most positively impacted your life or career or the careers of those around you?
I don't know about 10 years. Look, one of the great beliefs that I've always had is anything's possible. And I think that's the right belief, because anything that's ever happened on planet Earth is possible. Because by definition, someone's done it. And beyond what anyone's ever done is possible, because people break records all the time and people go to the next level. So I always have the view that whatever that you can think of in your mind that would be good for you and your family and your life and your business is possible. It's just a matter of how. Mike Shugold used to talk about, you know, it's just a matter of how. So if you're sitting there, a lot of people shrink their expectations to their current reality, rather than expanding their current reality to meet their expectations or their dreams. And so I think the anything is possible mantra is real, and it's the way to go. And Chris Helder gave a great presentation to our team recently, and he's speaking at ARIC too. I'm not mentioning ARIC speakers, just so happens.
There's a big list of them,
yeah. Chris is a great, so I think he's one of the hottest speakers in Australia at the moment. He talked about useful beliefs, and I'd never heard him talk about that before, but he said, look, you need to have in your mind and in your dialogue useful beliefs. And he said, right now, it's the best market ever in the history of Australasia to grow your business and have it all. And he said, is that real? He said, I don't really know, but it's a very useful belief. He said, I suspect it is real. But to think that the halcyon days were 10 years ago is really a very unuseful belief. So, you know, he talks about what are the useful beliefs. And that doesn't mean bringing up something that's fantasy, but it just means that you should have a set of beliefs. So if you're female and one of your beliefs is it's a man's world, well, that's kind of going to, for the rest of your life, hold you back. So that's not a useful belief. My belief, if I was female, but it happens to be my belief anyway, is that females are much better suited to this industry than males, and I think are at a distinct advantage because they have better multi-skilling talents, they have better empathy, they build better rapport, they're often more trustworthy in the way they go about their business. So if I was a female, that would be a useful belief. Another one around and on the Transform group we did recently is people that say they're new to the game. Oh, yeah, but I'm struggling, but I've only been in it for 18 months. My useful belief, if I was new to the industry, and I'd be saying this to a vendor, is I think I'm at a decided advantage to people like John McGrath that have been here 35 years, because he learnt the old way. I've learnt all the new way. I have the best social media micro-targeting strategy on planet Earth, and I'm going to apply it to your property. I now don't use whatever strategies of the old days. I do everything on social media. I use realestate.com. I do this, I do that. So a useful belief would be it's better being new to the industry than having been in the industry a long time. Is that right or wrong? Depends on who you are, but it's a very useful belief if you're new.
What would you put on a billboard?
Anything's possible.
What got you here won't get you there.
Yeah, well, that is one of my favourite, isn't it? What got you here won't get you there. And I guess if it's a billboard on the side of the road, it's a good one, isn't it? But that is also a very important, useful, and I think real belief that the skills, habits, rituals, personality traits you currently have got you to who you are today. If there is something beyond who you are, something bigger in the world that you want to achieve, deliver, contribute, you have to grow to a new level. So, yeah, what got you here won't get you there is a really apt one.
Yeah, I love that one too. What do you do when you feel unfocused or overwhelmed?
Those two things are generally momentary because it's important to have awareness about when you're on track and off track. So I think one of the skills I've developed is the ability to sort of self-analyze quickly and say, am I defocused or unfocused, or am I overwhelmed? If you're overwhelmed, breathe deep, break it down, and just shift your mindset. You know, as I was coaching a bit earlier about, you know, a guy that's building his business rapidly within our company, and his business, literally as we're speaking, is going to a whole new level. He's kind of going from handling 8 auctions at any one time, which is brilliant, to handling 20 plus. And he said in his text to me last night, he said he's excited, but he also feels scared and overwhelmed. And I said, you know, you need to get rid of those second thoughts and feelings. You need to feel in control, calm. Yes, excited is good. Organized, because if you're feeling overwhelmed and fearful, that's going to produce a really bad set of results. So having an awareness of it, acting on it, are two really good starting points.
What's the worst advice you ever heard given to someone?
We often hear stories, and we've all had those, that through our lives often people hold us back and they say, oh, look, you know, you won't be able to do that. And so you hear various iterations or versions of that. And I look at it, Sam, and I think most people that say those things, either A, is they really believe it and that's just their unuseful belief because they couldn't achieve their dreams. That's one of the kind of things. Or two is they're trying to protect you from disappointment. And so my view is, in terms of unhelpful, when the people say, and there's so many celebrities we've heard and great actors, and their drama teacher said in year 12, you know, you'll never amount to anything. You know, you have to be careful of people that are trying to transplant their own negativity or lack of success or whatever on you, holding you back. So I think, you know, just coming back to anything's possible, much more useful belief.
So don't listen to the outside world, so don't listen to the chatter so much.
Correct.
What topic would you speak about if you were invited to give a TED Talk on a subject that's not real estate related?
One of the most important things is discovering your why you exist, because at some point in the future, we're all going to draw our last breath, and I would hope that each and every one of us feel we've made a contribution beyond earning some money and selling some houses. The earlier you can find that out, what will you put on this earth to achieve? And then set about that. Not only does it, I think, fulfill you, I would really want to have that discussion going in a conference like a TED event around getting people to address that question sooner than later. Because I think most people address it at some point. I don't want you to address it when you've got a year to live. Why was I here? I want you to address it when you've got your life or half your life or a quarter of your life to live, because then you can actually contribute in that. And Tom Peters said years ago, when you turn 50, which I've beyond 50, I'm 54 now, when you turn 50, you still have the majority of your adult life to live nowadays. Because I think the average person, you know, in these countries, Australia, New Zealand, lives into their 80s. 50, you've still got more than 30 years of your adult life to go. And most of us sort of turn adult at 21. So it's a good perspective, useful belief.
What books have you gifted the most to other people and why?
Well, this is going to sound very negative because a number of friends and associates I've had lately have been afflicted with cancer. And there is a great book that someone recommended. I heard Wayne Dyer talking about, and ironically, he ended up passing away and cancer was one of his diseases. But he talked about a book called The Cancer Conqueror. And so he said, if anyone you ever know has the disease, it's a really great book. And so I got it and I read it, not because I had the disease, but I wanted to see what he's talking about. And it has a lot about mindset and it was very useful, you know, just to kind of think about general health. And so when I've had friends who've got it, and touch wood, have all got through it and progressed beyond that, I've given them a copy of the book. So that's been a positive one. Over and above that, you know, Tim Ferriss's work I really love, and I think that they're great books. Nowadays, the way I read books, and I think most people do, whether it's on Kindle or if it's on real life, is skimming them, reading a chapter, that sort of thing. Rarely do I think people start at the beginning and they read through to the end. It just depends. They look at chapter heads that interest them. And I love books like Ferriss's two books and Tom Peters's books, that really they're kind of snackable because you jump on a plane, you put it in your bag, 20, 30 minutes, you can pick up some great stuff, yeah.
Well, that's how I picked up these great questions to ask you. One last question before we sign off. So any final words of advice for the audience?
I think this is the greatest time in real estate ever because courtesy of technology and leveraging teams and the ability to expose yourself through events and through YouTube to great learnings, It's never been easier to access great insights than right now. It's also never been easier to have it all. Like, you can have a healthy life and you can have a prosperous life. Once upon a time, because you didn't have all the stuff you have today, you probably had to make a choice to some degree. Do I want to live a balanced, healthy life, or do I want to be mega successful? And we have seen in past decades people having a big bank account and failing health and multiple divorces and all sorts of problems. I think now all you have to do is do the work, become the person to attract the quantum of business that you want to attract into your life. I think that's it. I talk about being more rather than doing more. Don't prospect for another 5 hours a week. Just the quality of the current prospecting you're doing, make sure that it's vibrating at a level that people pick up on, the intention, the energy, the authenticity, and then they'll want to do business with you. Because 100 calls can yield zero opportunities, or it can yield 12 opportunities, depending on how you make the calls and who's making them. So hopefully that's good, and I've enjoyed the conversation. Hopefully for your listeners, there's some good stuff there, and might see them at ARIC.
That's amazing, John McGrath. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ed.
To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.